Shoes. Recorded live.
All right, good evening, everybody. It's Saturday night, and we have a special meeting going here for only a few people involved, but of course we're recording this for the sole purpose that it can become an educational piece for people to learn how to write the wherefore clause. So anybody that wants to go through that process and follow along, you go out to newyorkcommittemen.org, that's committemen.org. M-E-N, committeemen.org, newyorkcommittemen.org. Anyway, and you'll see the gun lawsuit button right on the front page there and on the left side. And when you get to the page, you can download the latest gun lawsuit paper that we wrote, the complaint or the reaction of law. We're in the wherefore clause. That's what we're going to cover tonight. And I guess we'll just get started. I'll start reading the first part, and we'll kind of talk about what it is we've got to make sure we have in here. And if anybody realizes something else we need, we'll bring it up and make sure we get it in here. So this is on page 32. And for anybody listening to this on the record, it may be a different page because we do have more material we're going to be adding into the Zoom. And I think we're going to be off maybe two or three pages because I'm thinking we have that much more material to put in. But anyway, on page 33 at this point, down towards the bottom of the page, we have, wherefore, the people move this court to find for the people and declare New York Penal Code subsection 265, subsection 400, and the recent New York SAFE Act as pretended law. An infringement upon the unalienable rights of the people, repugnant to the Second Amendment, and therefore null and void, and for the following orders with enforcement. Okay, that's pretty much it, and I think we've covered everything. A couple important things I want to come out of the judge's mouth or off the paper, and ultimately we're going to do the judging, but if they mistakenly do the judging and they get it right, we'll let it sit. But anyway, the word pretended law, we want that in there. Repugnant to the Constitution, particularly the Second Amendment, we want that in there. Null and void, we want that in there. And the following orders with enforcement. So therein, that first part of the clause is the declaratory judgment that we're looking for the judge to say. So any comments on that or thoughts? Come on, Gerard, you already told me you got a big mouth.
Too many words, man. I got to get off.
Come
my
back.
My roommate came back, so I got to give up the phone here.
Right.
I'll talk to you later.
All right. Go ahead, Gerard. Hey. Any comments on that?
Say what?
Any comments on that particular part of the clause? It's very important we get this right. So George is only going to be listening in. He mentioned there was too many words.
You know what, John? Let me plug in my headphones again because I'm not hearing it good through the speaker. Hang on just a second.
You're
I'm having a little
crazy anyway.
I'm having a little difficulty here tonight. I don't know why. I don't think I was doing anything different. If I had a light on, I could see what I was doing. Okay, I got my head. Maybe I'll. I don't know. I'm just having an awful hard time hearing you.
Okay, can you hear me any better now?
Yeah, that's better.
Okay. All right, I don't know, did you hear me read the wherefore clause, or do you want me to read it again?
Yeah, do it again.
Okay, a couple of things. Just to make a note here, some people thought it was too wordy. I agree we got to avoid wordiness throughout the entire complaint or the action of law. And so you're coming in really loud noises, speeches and everything, Gerard. You're moving that mic around or something?
No. Maybe my headset's shot.
Yeah, I hear all these crazy noises. I agree we have to not be wordy. We have to focus in. After we write something and say what we want to say, we want to go back and see how we can remove as many words as possible, tighten it up, combine it in phrases, and be on point, not be redundant, never to repeat ourselves. No matter how far earlier in the case we say something, there's no reason to repeat it at the end of the case, except maybe in the wherefore clause. Now, there's a rule, I think, that's a good rule to have, but when it comes to the wherefore clause, this is the most difficult part of the whole case, in my opinion. You can win the case, win the world, but if you don't have a good wherefore clause, you don't have enforcement. So you have to be very specific on what you want these people to do. So I don't know that we can do this without being wordy. I know we had one person, I think it was Mike out in California, who thought we were too wordy. He did write a new wherefore clause with the ABC, I think A and B. He didn't change the wherefore itself, that particular phrase of it, but the enforcement part, where I think it was A and B, and he rewrote them, but it was too little. It wasn't sufficient. It wasn't effective. It doesn't get everything we need in there. So I'm kind of just voiding that out. He's not on the call, so we'll see where we go and how we can get where we want to get. So I'm not worried about being too wordy with the wherefore, because this is the nuts and bolts of the case. This is the power. So let's start off with wherefore. Wherefore, the people moved this court. So we tell them we're moving the court to find for the people, not for the other side, and declare New York Penal Code subsection 265, subsection 400, and the recent New York State Act as pretended law, an infringement upon the unalienable rights of the people, repugnant to the Second Amendment, and therefore null and void, and for the following orders with enforcement. Now, I don't see anything we could take out of here. Basically, let me just quickly go through it and then see if you think there's any words we can pull. We're focusing in on the court to move towards the people who are the plaintiffs, and to declare those particular laws a number of things. We want them to say it's pretended laws. We want them to say it's an infringement upon our rights. We want them to say it's repugnant upon the Second Amendment. And we want to say, therefore, it's null and void. And all of that language is extremely important, because every one of those pieces of language is identifying with a particular case law. And as a matter of fact, now that I'm thinking about this, I'm going to attach that case law to this document as a footnote. So we'll get the pretended law, the infringement. We'll get the repugnant and null and void altogether. So anyway.
Are we doing a court of record with this?
Yeah, absolutely. We are going to be the tribunal, and it's going to be thousands of people that will be the tribunal.
So we won't find that it's too wordy then.
Well, no, it's not too wordy, and we obviously read it. We don't care if the judge reads it or not. So he's just got to sit there and behave, that's all, and do his administrative work. So anyway, that's it on the wherefore. First part of the wherefore clause. Now we're going to get into the orders and the enforcement. And again, you know, we can't leave it out, because we'll then have to go back to the court to redesign. And then, you know, we got to allow for argument. You know, the wherefore clause is part of the case where we're given opportunity of the other side to also attack the wherefore clause and say, oh, you can't ask for that. Oh, no, you can't do that, or whatever. So we can't really come back and redo this. It's like coming back to redo a case. So we have to be very specific. We're not going to be able to get more than what we asked for. So here are the enforcements. This is the order with an enforcement, and this is who the order is to go to. The first one is to the governor of New York, okay? And it says here, a judgment order with enforcement that the governor of New York is to, within 3 days, we want to give them a time period, restore the law of the land, and we can't move that out, and recompense for his dereliction of duty and abuse of power by calling a press conference to proclaim publicly that New York Penal Code law, subsection 265, subsection 400, and the recent New York SAFE Act is pretended law. I'm going to love to hear that roll off of his lips, and is an assault upon the people of, did I say, let me see, people, yeah, people of New York's unalienable rights, and therefore is immediately null and void, and that only Congress can make an act a crime, fix a punishment to it, and declare courts that shall have jurisdiction. And therefore, no county, city, town, or village has the authority to make law or refuse the unalienable rights of the people as protected by the Second Amendment for the state. End. Okay, so that's A. It is long, it is wordy, but I can't find anything in here that we could take out if we can reduce the words to make the same points without losing them. Some people thought that I should pull out the focus in on the law, you know, that the recent, that it's an assault upon the people of New York's inalienable rights. Okay, and therefore, we didn't look at that part. And therefore, I added the law in here. Only Congress can make law, make an act of crime, affix a punishment to it, and declare a court that has shall have jurisdiction. Now, we can't pull that out because I put that in for the sole purpose. We have these silly counties and cities and towns that think that they can legislate law. They cannot do that, but they are doing that, and they're going to arrest people for coming into their counties with guns. We need to stop that. So that part
the reason you have to be so specific with all this stuff is because this is a training exercise for them. They don't know this either. They think this is real law. So you have to prove to them that only Congress can make law. These are radical ideas. They're not going to just go there because you asked them to go there. You have to tell them. You have to stick their nose in it. You have to rub their nose in it. And you have to send their nose down the trail. And so you have to explain everything because they're so stupid, dumbed down. They don't know any of this stuff.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, I don't see anything we could take off. I'm perfectly happy with this the way it sits. Maybe we need punctuation corrections, but we can't do that. We can rely on Chris. We'll ask Chris to look at that. But I don't know. What do you think? Do you think we're missing anything here? I mean, let's look at the anatomy of this. We're looking for a judgment order, okay, and to be enforced. It's going to be upon the governor. We're given it a period of time. 3 days is reasonable. I mean, if this man can do what he did in 1 hour, I'm sure he can now undo all this in 3 days, okay? He went to Congress, and in 1 hour, pop, that's it. You know? So anyway, we're telling him he's got time. He's got 3 days. We're telling him he's got to restore the law of the land, and he's got to make recompense. And we declare what that recompense is. It's a dereliction of duty and abuse of power. And in order for him to make that recompense, he has to come out to the public and declare the truth. You know, the man is guilty of treason, and so is the Senate guilty of treason, and so is the Assembly. I don't care what you tell me. When we get back to the real world, the world we need to be in, that being a constitutional world or a republic world, these people are guilty of treason, and they deserve a penalty more than just having to confess it. We're living with the fact right now we have a major problem with our, you know, constitutional crisis here in state of New York and throughout the whole United States. And so we just want to fix the problem. We're not really here to try to get people put in jail or to get money from them. We're here to bring the law and order back to the people. So he needs to call a press conference. That's his recompense, and say certain things publicly. And that is that these new codes plus the old codes are pretended law. It's not real law. And it is an assault upon the people of New York's rights. And therefore, it is immediately null and void. People need to hear this from the governor. And we're going to see they need to hear it also from the Senate and the Congress. And we want to make the point very clear that only Congress can make law, so we don't have all these out-of-control counties, cities, and towns and villages that think that they can make law. Are these people insane? Where the hell do they come from? Okay, so these people don't have the authority to make the law, and they can't refuse the people's rights. That's an assault upon them. It's a suable action. and that's protected by the Second Amendment. That's for the state, of course. So anyway, that's my thoughts on it.
Well,
what I lose? Okay.
I could tell you right now that he will fight this all the way. He will try to appeal it. We'll have to object to appealing it.
There is no appeal from us.
I understand, but he'll try.
Right. Well,
he'll
I want to make one.
It to the federal court, huh?
Yeah. Well, he could do that. We'll win there anyway because it's a court of record. Look, here's the thing, and you know the Constitution, and the way the court of record works, and the case laws defining certain things, says that the only appealable thing that could be appealed from a court of record is on a constitutional issue. And the focus of that constitutional issue, it appears to me, is upon someone else's rights being distorted or trampled upon. But this is a constitutional issue. They may still be able to say, whoa, this is a constitutional issue. And now the state's not being violated because they're not a sovereign individual. They're not a people. They're not a king.
They're done right
they
there. They're completely done right there.
Well, they're absolutely, but they may try to incorporate on that because they're stupid and they do crazy, stupid things. But nevertheless, even in doing so, okay, I don't think we would get a resistance because, look, this paper is powerful. We've read through this live, point by point by point, and it is an extremely powerful paper, 35 pages of power. And there's no way any logic can come about and write up any kind of a paper giving the sides of the arguments. And, I mean, because what argument is the other side going to put up? Oh, it's dangerous. People shouldn't have, it's not an argument. That's ridiculous. It's irrelevant. Okay? Of course guns are dangerous. They're dangerous weapons. Okay? And you need to treat them with respect, and you need to be very careful with them. And we need to teach our children how to handle them when they're young, and they will have respect for them when they get older. And respect for people because they understand you don't want to harm nobody. That's the whole point of teaching a child about a gun. And so that'll roll on into their mind just in general. I don't want to harm anyone. So we'll be creating a better generation than what we are. But in any event, I don't see anything we could change in here. I don't see any way to shorten it up.
I wouldn't worry about it.
Okay, I like it. I mean, if you agree with this one, the next two you're going to agree too because it's the same thing for each and every one. So let me read it and we'll see if there's any difference in words. B, judgment order with enforcement that the New York State Senate is to, within 3 days, restore the law of the land and recompense for their dereliction of duty and abuse of power by calling a press conference to proclaim publicly that New York Penal Code Law 265 and 400 and the recent New York Safe Act is pretended law and is an assault upon the people of New York's unalienable rights and therefore immediately is null and void, and that only Congress can make an act a crime, affix punishment to it, and declare a court that shall have jurisdiction. And, of course, we get the U.S. Citation on that, U.S. Case law. And therefore, no county, city, town, or village has the authority to make law or refuse the unalienable rights of the people as protected by the Second Amendment for the state. End. Then we go to C. Now, someone suggested that we tie all these three together because C is going to be the same, but it's focusing in on the assembly. But we're not being very specific if we tie in. And then they may think they've got to do all three, do it at the same time. Some might do it. Some might not want to do it. And we have to be very specific on what the order is to each individual, and to make sure that each group covers all these things. We don't want the governor to leave out case law that says only Congress can make an act a crime or fix punishment to it and declare a court that shall have jurisdiction. No, we want that to come out of the mouth of the leader of the Senate. We want that to come out of the mouth of the leader of the assembly. We want that to come out of the mouth of the governor of New York. So we want all three to declare that in public, at a press conference, over radio, over TV, through the newspapers, in magazines, everywhere. So people know that this law is bullshit. You can own a gun. You can go out and buy a gun. You don't need to have anything more than just a check that they that the store will do on you. That will be they'll get access to their database and anybody that's in their database. And we're going to be clear. You know, we haven't written this in yet, I don't think, but we have to focus in only people that have violent crimes. If someone went to jail for writing a bad check or some silly thing, you know. And again, how long do you go to jail for writing a bad check? You know, a month, a couple of weeks? I guess it depends on the size of the check. But we have to think about that. We'll talk about that at the end, maybe. We have to think about writing something in here, to be precise, that these are the people that can't have guns. It has to be connected to a violent crime, and it has to, and of course, anyone that was just, that's still under the care for a serious psychological problem. We'll have to work that language in somehow. But anyway, comment on that.
Well, how do you do that if only Congress could make law?
Oh, because we're telling Congress to do it. Now,
you
remember,
tell them the,
we're
you tell them the federal Congress to make a law?
No. I'm looking at the idea our assembly and our state, our Senate together is Congress for New York, okay? They're the lawmakers for New York, and they can make law for this state, providing they don't do two things. They cannot violate the Constitution of the United States. They cannot violate any of the rights of the people. And people can do anything they please, providing it doesn't injure another individual. That would include, you know, corrupting the morals of a minor or something like that. There's certain, you can't do lewd acts in public. I mean, obviously that's a crime, okay? But the bottom line is there must be an injured party. And if there's no injured party, then leave me alone. I'll stick that needle in my arm. I'll do it privately, maybe. I'll smoke that joint. And I don't do any of those things. And I don't think anyone should do those things, and I would discourage everyone from doing those things, and I would try to talk to them, and I tell them, don't do that around my kids, because then you're going to add some injury, and I'm going to take you to court. But if people want to do that in the privacy of their own home, that's the business. If you want to have a gun, fine. You know, someone was trying to explain to me, but you don't understand the problem, John. I said, I know the problem, and I can fix it very simply. Tell me the problem. There's a group of people here. They do not want guns. And there's another group of here, they want guns. I said, I got the solution for that. I got a real simple solution for that. The people who don't want guns, don't get them. The people who want guns, have them. Who cares?
Or they can,
course,
move, they can move to England. They can move to England if they don't like it.
Yeah.
Listen, I don't think we have to worry about people who did violent crimes and people who are mentally ill and all that other crap. Let them worry about that. First of all, this law is not going to stop people who do violent crimes or stop somebody who's mentally ill from getting a gun.
Yes, it is.
How?
Yeah,
they're going to get them anyway. They're
going
to go out and you can get them.
I'll tell you how it's going to stop people, because no one's going to know who's armed and who isn't. And most of these people that commit these crimes
are cowards. We don't have to have a special provision for a violent crime person or for a crazy person, because they're going to get them anyway. We don't need to single them out. And when they have them, everybody else is going to shoot at them, because we're going to be on.
Well, you're absolutely right.
We don't have to make provisions for crazy people or for violent people, because we know right now you're not allowed to have a pistol in New York City, and all the gangs have got them. So the freaking law that says that they can't have them doesn't work anyway. We know that. So what are we worried about? Who's buying guns?
Well, here's my thoughts on it real quickly. I think it's the responsible thing for a computer to be available with a list of individuals that have violent crimes and or have a certain psychiatric problems. We'll let them worry about the details on how they work that out, but that has to be worked up
by
the
Senate. But they have that already, John.
And the Congress. My point is this. Here's my point. We don't want them going to gun stores to get it. Some of these criminals or some of these, people that have mental problems may not know where else they can get it. And the bottom line is if they're picked up and arrested and they have a gun on them and they find out that they had a violent past or whatever, well, then the law will deal with them the way that will. That's up to a jury and how they're going to deal with them people. But I think we'll be able to control some of that. We have to be reasonably responsible that you can't sell. And also you can't sell to minors. No one under 18 unless they're with their parents. You get a 12-year-old kid walk into a gun store and his parents with them, and they do pull out a gun and take a look at it. And the kid can take
when
it, and handle it, steal it, and do whatever he's got to do with it. They could discuss it, but the parent is the one buying it up until the age of 18.
Right, I agree.
I think we agreed on that part.
Yeah.
Okay. Right, but let's get to the end of this, and then we'll talk some more maybe about if we're going to add something in here for violent crimes. We're moving now to D or C. Let's see. We did C. Hold on. D. Judgment upon the Senate was B. Did we do judgment upon the Assembly, C? Which is the very same language, only except the Senate is there. So there's no reason to reread that. Okay? D. Let's go to D. And this, the New York State Governor, Senate, and Assembly is to, within 3 days, provide for all firearm vendors and or dealers database access to run background checks for the prevention of firearm sales. We can take minors out. We'll deal with that later. We'll put criminals with violent criminals of violent crime, right?
I don't even know criminals. I mean, I wouldn't even say criminals. I would say people with a history of violent crime because, you know, a criminal
pays
the debt to society. And you can't keep trying him twice. So if he lost a right, you just call him. We shouldn't keep calling him a criminal because if he committed something 30 years ago, I would just say prevent sales. And I think you should leave minors to minors and other people with history of violent crime or a history of mental illness. Take criminals out. Because listen.
Yeah,
what's a
that.
Criminal? A criminal is somebody who's an active criminal, right? And how do you know I'm not a criminal? What we're talking about is people have been caught and have a record of being a violent criminal. Now, I would just say people who have a history of violent crime.
Okay, let me read what I got. I'm going to reread this.
Mentally disturbed, you have to say a diagnosis of mental deficiency or something like that. Because mentally disturbed, I could look at you and think you're mentally disturbed. I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Right. Okay, well, let's find the right word for that part. Maybe a diagnosis, maybe that word. But let me read what I got, and then we'll figure out the last part of this. Okay, this is D. The New York State Governor, Senate, and Assembly is to, within 3 days, provide for all firearm vendors, that's singular, firearm vendors, and or dealers, database access to run background checks for the prevention of firearm sales to people with a history of violent crimes and a history of mental illness.
You know what?
Period.
That mental illness is too broad. You're mentally ill. I'm mentally ill. Everybody's mentally ill to some extent. I don't want the state determining it. We got to narrow that down to something like violent mentally ill because, listen, one person's OCD, they could say, guess what? That's mental illness. You get these poor guys coming out of service and go, oh, they got post-traumatic stress. They're mentally disturbed. It has to be violent mental illness. The state will be doing all kinds of crazy tests when you go in. They'll be asking you if you look at your turds in the toilet before you flush it and all this other crap that doesn't mean anything.
Okay, so and diagnosed with a history of
violent mental illness?
Violent
mental illness. That really narrows it down.
And diagnosed...
Say of a nature, maybe a nature of... How would I say that? I have to think about that. Something with mental illness.
Well, it's got to be a history. With a history...
What a propensity towards violence.
Mental illness with a... Spell that word?
I said propensity towards violence, but maybe that's not a good thing to use. I have to think about that a little more. I mean, you could throw it in there.
A history of violent mental illness, a history...
Or a diagnosis.
Well, diagnosed with some, being in, you know, anybody who's diagnosed, look, if somebody's incompetent in some way, but you're right, you know, the government will plaster that on anyone. So let's go to, let's lay this aside for right now. We'll come back to it.
Okay,
I just don't
want to leave a big open door for these idiots to put us through all kinds of mental testing, and every excuse that they get, you have a fight with your wife or something, they call you mentally disturbed and violent. You know what I mean?
Right. All right. We'll come back to this in a minute. Let me read. There was one line in here that I did not add. I didn't read, so let me add it right now. After the mental illness part, it's period, and then I state, New York State is not to collect any data on the people. So I think that's straight out. I don't know if we want to be clearer than that. The bottom line is someone comes in, they produce an ID, prove that they're a certain person. They run their name in a database, and they discover, well, okay, they're not in the database. Well, now they make the bill of sales and sell to the people. They do whatever they do with the receipts. You know, I know businesses. I keep names and numbers and phone numbers and addresses on everybody I do business with. So whatever's normal, they might keep them for a year or two for their own purposes. They may keep their own database for sending out advertisements, whatever they do it. But the government is not to touch that. The government is not to get that information in their hands. This is personal business for commercial use. But I'm not going to get into too much of a detail on that, just that the New York State is not to collect and or maintain any data on the people.
Right.
Maintain. Let's see who that is. It's George. Hang on a minute. Yeah. Yeah. All right. I'll tell Gerard because I'm reading. I'll let him know. Okay, I got it. I'll let him know. Hey, George is making notes on the chat, so if you can kind of keep an eye on the chat a little bit, because me, I'm focusing on typing and recollecting. Okay, so anyway, on D, I think we got to come back. Maybe George has some ideas on D. We'll look at that. But let's get through the other two, then we'll come back to D, and we'll end up just wrestling with this last one. So E, the New York Senate and Assembly is to, within 3 days, rescind New York Penal Code Laws 265 and 400 and New York's SAFE Act, and provide statutes for vendors preventing the sale of all firearms to minors under the age of 18 without a parent present. Let me, because I have 21, let me get rid of 21 and put 18. Under the age of 18 without a parent present. Provide statutes requiring all firearms in New York cities to be concealed. Now, I think we agreed on that, correct? If anybody goes through the cities with firearms, they should be concealed.
Hang on a minute. It's hard for me to see the text chat and read this thing because I don't have enough screen to do it all.
All right.
Oh, I got to keep going back and forth.
Well, you should give a call to Rush Limbaugh. He's got a half a brain, Melania.
I need two screens, one with the text chat, one with this on, because I'm half blind. I got to blow this thing up to 400% to read it.
Really? Well, that stinks.
Well, I'm not 400%, but you know what I mean. Um, to be concealed in New York City. I guess. I don't care.
Yeah, I think the cities need concealment. You know what? They may argue that, the people of the city, and they may want to battle that, and that's their prerogative, and they can win at that, and I'm happy with that. I just want to be responsible here with this particular paper. And I think it's responsible to say, if you're in New York City, your gun must be concealed. Now, that doesn't mean a rifle has to be concealed. If you're going to go hunting, you're going to head in upstate, and you're getting into your car with your rifle, I don't know if we have to be clear on that. My point is this. We don't want to see everybody walking around the streets packing a gun, and it might upset certain people, because I could see New York City happening that way, and I don't blame them for that.
Well,
believe me, I come from New York City. I'd have a gun. If I was able to have a gun when I was younger and lived in New York City, I would have had a gun in my hip every day wherever I walked. And I wouldn't have been mugged the few times that I did get mugged at Lenny's Point, because they'd be dead. And they wouldn't have done it, because they wouldn't know whether I had a gun or not.
Well, the way the current law is, before they even registered rifles, it was that if you were walking down the street with a rifle, it had to be unloaded in chamber and magazine and not concealed.
Right, well,
that's the way the current law was if you were walking down the road, and not too many people walk down the road with their rifles, you know what I mean? Although, you know, if you got your rifle in a gun bag, is that concealed?
Well, I guess it would be. Well, again, I don't think a rifle is necessary. We're going to have to let them wrestle over how they're going to write that stuff. And we've got to watch them like a hawk and let them know we're going to sue them again. But this time, you know, if they go crazy and this stuff. But this time we're going out after money and prison because you're violating people's rights. You know, we have to be what's reasonable, okay? What's reasonable is what's reasonable. And again, New York City may not think what we're writing is reasonable, and that's their prerogative. They can do whatever they please, you know. But in any event, I think at this point that's probably a good. Is Georgie saying anything out there?
No, I don't know. Separate bill to be written, not relevant to this case, I think. But I don't know when he wrote that. But that's a separate bill to be written, not relevant to this case. I think I know what he was talking about. I mean, you're right. A lot of the stuff would be, like I said, let them worry about it.
Yeah, we'll let them have it. We'll leave it a little vague on that. Let them have it, that they need to write some laws or reasonable things. And again, these laws are not real laws. They can't really enforce them. It becomes a rule. But the fact that they're written out there, okay, and people think it's law, it'll work for a while anyway until they figure it out. And they will figure it out if we continue on our way that we're doing. But at the bottom line, it gives it gives something for the grand jury to use if something needs to be done. The grand jury can act upon it. But the grand jury can act upon anything that they think is a danger to the community. So they can act upon that. So, you know, this, I think that'll be left. That's a good place to leave it, too, with the grand juries of New York.
Right.
You know, once we reset the grand juries down there, because that's another problem we need to work on. We can't do that till we get political power.
Well, the other thing they're going to tell you is that the federal Supreme Court has already upheld that PL 400 and 600 are constitutional, that they fly under
right,
the Constitution.
Well, absolutely,
because
the citizens
because
under the
14th they can
Amendment,
make reasonable, right, reasonable laws. It says reasonable, and who determines what reasonable is probably them.
Well, you're absolutely right, and you know what? Maybe you could do some research on that. Get the information, and it's got to be done quick because we have to get this in. I got some other research I'm working on that I want to get in here.
I'm just warning you, they're going to come back.
Do some research on that, huh?
I'm just warning you, they're going to come back with that. We have to be prepared.
No. Forget about that. We're going to cut it off in the complaint. We're going to make the point for them, and we're going to give the other side my story. And so we're going to neutralize it in our complaint, so we don't have to deal with that argument. and they won't even bring it up. But and if they do, we already dealt with it. But the
I need to get you those court cases that he cited on Ryan's case.
Yeah, and if you could do that tonight or tomorrow, I'd appreciate it. I gotta get it.
Right.
Now, here's the bottom line on that, because I know where they're going with it, and I know where it comes from. They have the authority and the ability to do it. And if you're talking about the high U.S. Supreme Court, what are you talking
about?
Yeah,
I think that people have taken PL 406-400 to the federal Supreme Court, and it's been upheld as constitutional.
Right, but they did it under jurisdiction because they came in as citizens, and they under the 14th Amendment, and they have the power to do that.
You know they came in as citizens. I mean, when else have they ever come in otherwise?
Well, exactly. That's the key. I even noticed the people that think they're free or believe they're free, and they should be, use the wrong language, therefore make themselves slaves. When I went up to the gun rally up in Albany last week, the language, when I listened very carefully, used the phrases like law-abiding citizens. That's what they were. Wait a second. What are you talking about? Now, they don't know yet. They're not educated. And again, if the people expect to be ignorant and free, they expect it never was and never will be. So when you use that language in a court, like Bob Schultz does, you know, we're law-abiding citizens, we're residents of New York, you're using all of the key words, as I know you know, but all of the key words that are telling the court, I am a 14th Amendment citizen. And now they have, now they can do some things and they can maintain and live with whatever the state is trying to say. They're going to go that route. But once you come in as a citizen above the Constitution, now it's a whole new story. Now
you mean the people above the Constitution.
Huh?
Well, even it doesn't matter. I said the people above the Constitution.
Right. We're above the Constitution.
Of course, like you said, Jefferson used citizen because they didn't have that 14th Amendment.
They didn't use that language scheme then. And I read a lot of the old court cases, case law. They use that language too, clearly talking about the people. And again, the citizen game wasn't in effect in New York and in U.S. law yet, and in state law. That hadn't come here yet, but it was on its move here, of course.
Right.
Okay, G. Let's go to G. As is already the law of the land, reiterate any threat, assault, or violation upon a fellow people with a firearm is punishable by fine or imprisonment, or both. Max to be determined by the Congress only upon the indictment of a grand jury from among the people, not on a government payroll, or upon the sworn affidavit of an injured party to be tried in a court of record and determined by a jury unless waived. I guess we need to direct this towards someone, and I would presume we would say Congress or the Senate and the Assembly. So as is already the law of the land, the Congress or the Senate is to make a statement to something, any threat, assault, or violation upon a fellow, or make legislation to be a threat.
No.
See, it already is part of, maybe we don't even need this, because, well, we do need part of this. Maybe I'm trying to get too much in this.
Where are you reading this? How come I don't see that?
This is G.
G-C-D-E-G. Oh, okay, hold on.
Okay. As is already the law of the land, reiterate, okay? Now, I don't know. Let's look at this. We may want to pull this out, maybe want to make this a different direction. I mean, put this into a different direction. Any threat, assault, or violation upon a fellow people with a firearm is punishable by fine or imprisonment. Maybe we should say that New York lawmakers they already have this. I think it's in New York 35. I have to go back and reread. I didn't find any problems with New York 35. you know, subsection 35 of the Penal Code?
Well, the only thing with this, he's British.
You see, we're trying to get to a grand jury. A person needs to be indicted by a grand jury, or there has to be a sworn affidavit of an injury. It's the only two ways.
Well, the only reason to put G in is to teach them about common law. They may actually use that to say that you're one of these nutty sovereign people. They'll say, look at this, he doesn't... he thinks that...
I'm going to redline G, and I'm going to work on this and see what we can or you know, we look at, I am trying to get the point to you and push in towards the grand jury. And nobody should be indicted on any kind of a gun charge unless, again, there is a sworn statement. And maybe that's all we need to say. No gun charges shall be applied upon the people for any reason except that there be a sworn statement by an injured party or
there you
B,
go.
An indictment by a grand jury from among the people, not on a government payroll.
That's good. That's simple.
Okay,
enough.
So I will rewrite that. I don't want to play with it too much more right now, but I'll rewrite it that way or pretty much that way. H, order for immediate enforcement of the aforementioned A, B, C, D, E, and F, E, F, and G by warrants delivered to the sheriff of Albany County and for service upon the governor of New York State, the New York State Senate, New York State Senate, I got state in here twice, state and the New York, let me get rid of that, and the New York State Assembly. I think that's cut and dry.
New York State.
There was an extra state in there after the Senate.
Right.
I pulled that out.
And the New York State Assembly and reimbursement for all who incurred during the session.
Okay, let's read I out loud. If you want to read it, you can read it.
And reimbursement for all expenses incurred to bring this action, including court costs, together with any such and other further relief as might be just under circumstances. Oh, it goes on. The unalienable right of people to use a deadly physical force when they believe the life of themselves or another is in jeopardy shall not be infringed upon, nor shall their inalienable right.
Well, that was a note that was a leftover note you're reading down there, I think.
Yeah,
I was going to
say, how did that fit? That was weird.
Yeah, I when I posted that one, I had thrown a note down there that I wanted to get up in here, and I did get that in, but we're going to correct that one.
Right.
Why don't you...
belong there.
Right, I'm going to rewrite G. I don't have to, we know what we're going to do on that one.
Right.
It's a lot of work. I don't want to do it while we remain silent on the air here. And the one we have problem with is which one now that we got to come back to? Can you see?
Oh, there was another one, yeah. The one with the mental illness. Right?
Okay. Yeah, that's one of them. That's G. So let's go back to C. Let me read D the way we have it at this point, and let's see what words we can stick in here. Keep an eye on the text chat. Georgie might be having some ideas on this. D, the New York State Governor, Senate, and Assembly is to, within 3 days, provide for all firearm vendors and or dealers database access to run background checks for the prevention of firearm sales to people with a history of violent crimes, let me put of in there, history of violent crimes, and people diagnosed
with a mental illness of violent nature.
Well, I got with a history of mental illness. Is that good?
But you have to say a history of mental illness of violent nature, because listen.
All right, of a violent nature?
Yeah, because they're going to, listen, everybody has mental illnesses, man. They're and they're going to use that. They're going to stretch that. They're going to, oh, you're mentally ill. Oh, you're obsessive compulsive. You have to wipe the doorknob off before you get into the house or something. Oh, you can't have a gun. You're mentally ill. Because we have a listen, you don't want to go on elevators. You're mentally ill too, see?
Right. Okay, let me reread this now. The New York State Governor, Senate, and Assembly is to, within 3 days, provide for all firearm vendors and or dealers database access to run background checks for the prevention of firearm sales to people with a history of violent crimes and people diagnosed with a history of mental illness of a violent nature, period. New York State is not to collect or maintain any data on the P. I think we got that already up. Did we have that further up? Or no, let me take a quick look. No, we didn't. Okay, so this is where that came in. New York State is not to collect any data. Let's see. New York State is not to collect data and maintain any data on the people. So I think D is pretty good now, right?
Did you already talk about minors further up because you pulled it out now?
Yeah, that comes in the next one.
Oh.
E. Let me read E now. What's all that noise, Rod?
I have no idea. I don't hear any noise.
You probably do need a new headset because you are gobbly. I probably need a new headset, too. Okay, let's go to E. The New York State Senate and Assembly is to, within 3 days, rescind New York Penal Code Law 265 and subsection 400 and New York. Now, wait a second. I should put end New York SAFE Act, and that should be capitalized SAFE, an acronym. SAFE Act. And provide statutes for vendors preventing the sales of all firearms to minors under the age of 18 without a parent present. Provide statutes requiring all firearms in New York City, in all New York cities to be concealed. End. And that's it. Now we go to G, but how's E? I think we agreed that this was okay. Did I lose you? You there, Gerard?
Oh, yeah, I had my mic muted. You were complaining about the noise. I agree. That's fine.
Okay. So, G, I'm going to rewrite the way we agreed.
You do have 21 instead of 18 on the paper. You said 18.
I changed that in here. This one's changed, and I'll be uploading this one soon. I'm not going to upload it today because I think I'm going to work on this a little bit tonight or tomorrow. I got some things I want to add to it. And you have to do some work on some things also. So I'll rewrite G as we mentioned. Let me read H and I one more time. It's the final thing, and I think we have it done. H, order for immediate enforcement of the aforementioned A, B, C, D, E, E, F, and G by warrants delivered to the sheriff of Albany County and for service upon the governor of New York State, the New York State Senate, and the New York State Assembly. And I, reimbursement for all expenses incurred to bring this action, including court costs, together with such other courts, other and further relief as might be just under the circumstances. And that's it. End of the game. And like I said, we have a few new things we need to stick in earlier parts, but that shouldn't be a problem.
George says, define ill. What if you went for non-prescription therapy? We need to keep the focus here. The issue at hand is the repeal of all gun restrictions.
Well, there's the diagnosing, and it has to do with
the
violence. I think that's covered under the fact that it's diagnosed. Courts, lawyers don't diagnose. Doctors diagnose. So it's written in doctors. Diagnosed. with history of mental illness of a violent nature. I think that is clear. I don't think you can worry about that. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that's pretty good. This guy says, have you gone to a pro se litigant to help with writing this? Well, I don't understand that. Have you guys gone to a pro se litigant to help with writing? Well, we're pro se litigants with writing this.
Yeah, the early, the early definition of that, or the in pro per.
They're really super paralegals. The trouble is they know statutes and they don't know common law. That's the problem with lawyers and paralegals. They're taught to work within the statutes, like in the 14th Amendment, and so that's why we don't usually use them.
All right. Well, what we're going to do, we can continue talking for a few, but let me go up here and see where we are on the time. I might as well end the recording right now. Okay? Let me end the recording because we're done with this, right?
Yeah, I think we're pretty good. I'll try to get those
papers.
Okay,
let me end the recording and we'll continue some conversation. Keep it a short recording.